Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and I don't know if you guys heard, but ARK Invest ended up releasing their new Tesla price target on Friday after market close. I think at this point there are probably about 300 different YouTube videos about this, but I'll add my thoughts here, and then there are a few other topics that I want to cover today as well, including some Elon Musk comments on China, market share, new software that has been spotted for Tesla, and a couple other things as well. So starting off with the stock, Tesla today finishing up 2.3% to $670 even. That was down a little bit from the high of the day, which was pretty close to $700 per share. The NASDAQ did fall off in the course of the afternoon as well, but still finished up 1.2%. All right, so let's start off here with ARK. They have issued their newest price target on Tesla for the year 2025. This is a change from their last round of price targets they issued on Tesla last year, which was a 2024 price target. At that time, their expected case, or their base case, was $7,000 per share post-split. That would now be equivalent to $1,400 per share, again for 2024. So with this newest update, they've taken their price target out one further year to 2025, and they've increased it now for their base case up to $3,000 per share. So one additional year and essentially doubling their price target. They also outline a $1,500 bear case and a $4,000 bull case, and we'll come back to those things in a second. Now it's important to understand, and this almost goes without saying, but for newer investors, it's important that we walk through this. ARK's price targets without adjustment are not directly comparable to the rest of Wall Street's price targets, which are generally putting their price target for 0 to 12 months rather than 4 years away. So we need to discount that back. Everyone kind of uses a different discount rate. We'll use 10% here. That's pretty much what Alex Potter uses in his forecast. He's the highest on the street in terms of 12-month price targets right now at $1,200 per share. So to make these comparable, we also have to discount ARK's price targets back. We'll use that 10% rate. That accounts for the time value of money, the cost of capital. You don't want to invest in something if you don't expect any return. First of all, you're taking a risk with that capital. Second of all, if you don't get a return, you're losing value through inflation and opportunity cost. So anyway, if we look at ARK's price targets, bear, base, bull, and we discount them back to present value today at a 10% discount rate, their bear case ends up just above $1,000 per share, the base case just above $2,000 per share, and the bull case just above $2,700 per share. In other words, if you bought Tesla at those share prices today, you'd expect a 10% return each year on average to end up with those 2025 price targets for each of those individual cases. So hey, even under the bear case, if you were to buy Tesla at $670 per share today, it'd still be a great buy. You'd average a 22% return each year through 2025. In the base case, you'd get a 45% average annual return, and in the bull case, 56%. So with those kind of expected returns, you can see why ARK is heavily invested in Tesla. Generally, they're looking for 15% because that doubles your money every 5 years. So even getting 22% is a pretty great return. All right, so all that being said, let's talk about ARK's price target here and where these numbers are coming from. Unlike other analysts that may project a vehicle delivery number in 2025 or 2030 and then kind of work back a discounted cash flow from that number and their expected margins at that point in time, ARK is using what's called a Monte Carlo simulation, which is a model that works off a number of input parameters to output various different scenarios. In ARK's case, 40,000 different scenarios, which are then averaged to come up with some sort of final estimate or estimates. Investopedia says that the reason for this is to, quote, help to explain the impact of risk and uncertainty in prediction and forecasting models, end quote. Unfortunately for us, that makes it a little bit more difficult to interpret what is actually being forecast here, because instead of looking at one forecast and saying, oh, that seems reasonable, that seems higher, that seems low, we're instead looking at a blend of 40,000 different scenarios, which makes things a lot more difficult to analyze, obviously. ARK did this last time too, but I thought they did a better job of explaining the various different outcomes, but this time they kind of just left us with a graph of the Monte Carlo outputs. While I do think Monte Carlo simulations have their places, for example, it's used in Elon Musk's compensation plan to determine essentially the base case or the planned stock-based compensation expense related to that plan over a period of time. A Monte Carlo simulation works better for something like that because it is throwing in that degree of market randomness rather than just having one person or one group of people at Tesla saying, hey, here's what we think is going to happen on the share price over the next 5 years or 10 years or whatever. But when we're talking about an analyst forecast, a price target, I don't think a Monte Carlo really adds any value. We already know there's a degree of randomness, there's a degree of risk, no forecast is going to be perfect. We don't have to throw that into a model and show it with a computer. I think that idea is already implicit. When we're talking about an analyst forecast versus something like a company trying to model the share price in the future for a compensation plan, while they might sound similar, these are very different things. In my view, an analyst should be trying to forecast what's going to happen and what that should be worth. If the market doesn't necessarily realize that right away, that's okay, that's up to the market, and over time those things should correct. That's sort of where the old maxim comes in of, in the short term, the market is a voting machine, but in the long term, the market is a weighing machine. And at the end of the day, I think really what an analyst is trying to do is find areas where that voting machine is wrong, and the weighing machine will correct that wrongness over time. For Musk's compensation plan, well, you have to factor in the randomness of that voting machine, because part of that structure is based on the share price rather than based on that ground fundamental truth that an analyst should be trying to get to. So it's very different things. I go into detail on this because I don't want it to come across as I hate Monte Carlo simulations or that I don't understand them. Neither is true. I just don't think they're valuable for this sort of analysis. I think it's much more valuable to have a scenario that you have in mind, or a handful of scenarios that you can look at, you can talk about, you can question, rather than having this Monte Carlo simulation with 40,000 different scenarios that no one could ever possibly work through. Then to have a conversation about it, you have to understand how the model works. You have to understand the different parameters that are going in. There's 34 different inputs here, it sounds like. We'll talk about some of that in a second, but to me, it's just not the most helpful way to analyze a business. Now, before we go further, I want to be very clear here that there's a distinction between ARK's price target model and ARK's research. I think ARK does phenomenal research. They're obviously among the top, if not the very top, in terms of institutions and their understanding of Tesla. I've got tons of great things to say about ARK. We just so happened today to be talking about the price target, and I can't have that conversation without sharing my thoughts on the methodology, because we have to understand the methodology to understand the price target. Anyway, aside from my opinion on it being unnecessarily complex, let's look at a concrete example here from ARK's model of why I don't love this methodology. So in their update post, they share their model. You can download it from GitHub. Credit to them for doing that. That's also awesome of them to do. But one of the worksheets here is the output of the Monte Carlo simulation under ARK's parameters. They limit it to 5,000, I'm assuming just for space reasons. But just quickly scrolling through that, you can start to see some scenarios that just look pretty unrealistic, which in a model of 40,000 scenarios isn't the biggest criticism, but plenty in here that I would find downright impossible. A particularly egregious one is in row 708 in the model, if you want to check it out. This has Tesla delivering 131 million cars in 2025 alone, not cumulatively, in 2025 alone. I don't think I need to explain why that's impossible, but the vehicle market today is about 70 to 80 million vehicles per year, depending on how you define things. You might say, oh, that could include things like rickshaws. From what I can tell on Wikipedia, the world's largest manufacturer of rickshaws does under 800,000 a year. This would have Tesla doing well over 100% of the entire automotive market, and getting there in just 4 years. Obviously impossible. This only has the average selling price being $17,000, but has the margin at 31%. And even more humorously, this example doesn't have Tesla achieving autonomy, so somehow they sold 130 million without autonomy. And then it has 214 million Tesla vehicles that are being operated on a human-driven ride-hailing fleet. 214 million drivers in 4 years. For context, Uber right now has about 4 million drivers. Now, obviously that's nonsense, it's just one scenario, it has a small impact on the model, but it calls into question, if something like that can even appear in the model, is this really the model you want to be using? And if so, what's wrong with your parameters then? That brings us then right back to the original point about this being more about the model and understanding the model than actually the company and understanding the company. And while that example was one of the more egregious examples, there are plenty of others. For instance, 61 of these 5,000 scenarios have Tesla delivering more than 40 million vehicles in 2025 alone. That's double Tesla's target for 2030 in 2025. If we change that to 20 million vehicles, that ends up being 326 of these 5,000 scenarios, 6.5%. Now, I don't know for the 40,000 scenarios in total, I assume it's a normal distribution, but I think the probability of Tesla shipping, not even being at a production rate of 20 million, but shipping 20 million vehicles or more in 2025, I think that's about 1,000 times closer to 0% probability than it would be to 6.5%. And this is just looking at vehicle deliveries. We're not even talking about the other metrics which may have similar issues. For example, they have gross margins on vehicle sales, in some cases being above 60%, before including autonomy. My guess is this simulation is also messing up some other takeaways in other areas as well. For example, in their write-up on their price targets, they talk about insurance. They say in one of the bear cases they picked out, which has Tesla delivering 5 million vehicles in 2025, they would forecast $23 billion in revenue from insurance, under the assumption that 40% of the vehicles Tesla sold opted into Tesla insurance. If we start with the 1.4 million vehicles that Tesla had already delivered at the end of the year 2020 and map them growing to 5 million per year 2025, the fleet then grows to about 14.5 million vehicles. 40% of that is 5.8 million. $23 billion on 5.8 million vehicles per year is almost $4,000 for insurance per car per year. That's not really adding up to me. Maybe if these cars have way, way higher utilization, but the average cost for car insurance in the US is just under $1,600 per year. And one of the ideas of Tesla insurance is that it should be able to be offered at a much cheaper rate. So I think that only makes sense if there's much higher utilization, but in their bear case, obviously they don't have Tesla achieving autonomy. Instead, they have Tesla operating a human-driven ride-hailing fleet. So on the insurance, the question is, okay, is that an output from one of these scenarios, or is that what ARC actually would model for? What's going on there? And then as far as a human-driven ride-hailing fleet, that's playing a big role in these various outputs from the Monte Carlo simulation. I won't spend as much time here. It's something that we've talked about in the past. Personally, it's not something that I'm super bullish on. I think Tesla doesn't really care too much about that. Elon has been asked the question a lot over the years in various different ways. He's always been, I think, lukewarm on it at best. I think he probably spends about 0% of his time thinking about that, and most of his time thinking about how they can solve autonomy. He doesn't care about a human-driven network because it's going to exist for such a short period of time and then be completely replaced by autonomy. The only human-driven service I could see happening is something that's just a really, really short interim step where Tesla's basically just trying to have an autonomous fleet without having to deal with all the regulations right away and the responsibility shift from the actual driver over to Tesla. Anyway, whatever that period of time looks like, I just don't see it being consequential to Tesla's valuation. All right, so those are my general thoughts on the ARC price target. And again, just a couple of points here. It's easier to point to things that I disagree with than to point to things that I do agree with. So because of that, it probably seems more critical than I am. Again, I think ARC does great stuff. There's a lot of good stuff, even in these models. I would just prefer to see them present things in a little bit different way that reduces some of the, I think, unhelpful and unnecessary complexity. Oh, and they do also note that they don't include anything for Tesla's utility energy storage or solar business in their models. I'm sure we'd all love to see that added, but because ARC is only going out to 2025 in their forecasts, I think it's fine to have energy there just kind of propping up the multiple or the valuation of the company, just because it's going to take a few years for Tesla Energy, even growing faster than automotive, to catch up and be a more material part of the business. That's especially true if you start including revenue from a Tesla network, which obviously ARC does. All right, so let's move on. First up, we have some new comments from Elon Musk on the situation in China, following reports last week that the China military had banned Tesla vehicles from their premises. Musk pretty much stating the obvious here, saying that Tesla would never provide the US with data collected by cars in China or anywhere else, saying, quote, "There's a very strong incentive for us to be very confidential with any information. If Tesla used cars to spy in China or anywhere, we will get shut down," end quote. So nothing surprising there, and reiterating from last week, I think also nothing surprising from China's end to want to be cautious in those military areas. Next here is some news on Tesla's operating system. So Reddit user FridayTheDog111 posted some images and a video from him having the opportunity to sit in a refreshed Model S. This gives us our first glimpse at what appears to be Tesla's next iteration of the user interface. Definitely some noticeable changes here. Wouldn't really call it a complete overhaul, but you can notice different things like sort of a block design, and some of the elements have moved around. This is for a Model S, so it does have the two screens, well, two screens in front now, and obviously the larger center screen. So it remained to be seen how this would translate over to the Model 3 and the Model Y, or older S and X vehicles. But with the updated design, there are a couple of noticeable new features as well. In driving settings, there's now a drag strip mode with instructions on how to launch, and then there's an on-off button for smart shift. Gear selection through the user interface then appears in quick controls. Right now in this vehicle, you can see that it's on neutral. And I don't know why this didn't occur to me before, but if Tesla offers smart shift, they don't have to limit that to the new Model S and X vehicles. In fact, I don't really see why they would unless they want to just withhold it as a nice feature to have for those vehicles, but it seems like it should be an option for any vehicle that has the FSD hardware. Obviously, you could still use the lever when you wanted to, but you wouldn't have to. So I do think that's pretty exciting, and I hope we end up seeing that. The other cool thing from these photos is that you can see if you look closely, the screen is tilted, so that goes a little bit right to left, and I think these are the first pictures we've seen of the screen doing that. Aside from the photos, the other detail that this person shares based on who they spoke with, so again, take that for what it's worth, they say that it's confirmed to ship with the round steering wheel, so refresh vehicles, and that the yoke would be a retrofit after regulatory approval. They say the choice will be given before delivery which wheel you want when that retrofit does happen. So a little bit crazy, probably not what Tesla intended to do originally. They are now probably going to have a lot of these extra wheels. I don't think they would refurbish them and put them in a new vehicle. I guess I don't know, but either way, that's adding labor, that's adding shipping costs and things like that. So hopefully that regulatory approval doesn't take too long and this doesn't happen to a lot of these vehicles. All right, next up, I wanted to point out an Elon Musk tweet from over the weekend. This was in response to Cathie Wood of ARK, who was mentioning that artificial intelligence in general creates more winner-take-most opportunities like autonomous taxi networks. Elon added, quote, "When vast amounts of manufacturing are needed, as in robotaxis, this slows down rate of introduction. So maybe more like winner takes a quarter, still great," end quote. Probably could have mixed this in with the ARC stuff, but just to give my thoughts on this, no one should take that tweet from Elon Musk, in my opinion, as being some sort of disappointment or anything like that. Elon has talked about this concept in the past. There are about 1.5 billion cars on the road right now. So even at 20 million vehicles per year, it would take Tesla alone 75 years to turn over that entire fleet. Even at that crazy number of 130 million a year, that would be more than 10 years. So that inherently gives people some time to catch up, and that's what Elon is pointing out here. All right, last couple of quick things for today. First up from Reuters, they are reporting that California's U.S. senators are asking the president to set a firm date for a phase-out of internal combustion engine vehicles. We've, of course, already seen this from California with their date of 2035. I think Oregon has proposed a date for 2030. So it would be interesting to see what would be done at a federal level, if anything. I don't think I would expect anything earlier than 2035. And at that point, it's probably not all that material anyway. Moving over to SpaceX, it looks like they had a successful static fire test on Starship SN11 today. So we may actually end up seeing a test flight for SN11 this week. As of right now, that would be no earlier than Wednesday. That scheduling is highly variable, so we'll keep an eye on it. Lastly, just a quick correction from Friday's episode. We were talking about the Hydra casting machine, where they said they had confirmed an order for that 8,000-ton casting machine. In the video, they certainly made it look like that was the machine they were talking about, but it was actually labeled as a 6100, so that may have actually been one of the older machines, in which case they may still be working or just now starting to work on the 8,000-ton casting machine. So thanks to those of you that pointed that out in the comments, but that will do it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, March 23rd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.